Good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before you this morning asking for your help, asking God that you would continue to be with us as we worship you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Not just in the songs that we raise as an Ebenezer, but also through the preaching and the hearing of your word. May we continue to worship you. We love you, Lord, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of James. James chapter 1. We're taking a one-week break from the book of Matthew. As I was meditating on the next few passages, and also our culture, James 1 came to my mind. And kind of as a way of introducing these next two passages that we're going to deal with, I wanted to bring you something that the Holy Spirit inspired through the authorship of James. We find it in verses 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25. Let me read that for us. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face as in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This message is not intended to be one of those like scathing rebuke messages. Now you guys aren't doing. That's not what it is. As a matter of fact, I don't think that's what James is doing here. He's not bringing some scathing rebuke. He's bringing a warning. He's bringing an edict. He's giving an example of that edict, and then he's giving a great and wonderful encouragement to all who will obey that edict. And so that's what I want us to hear this morning. I want us to hear this particular law of God, this particular expression of God's command to us. See it, understand it through the means of the example that James gives, and then be encouraged to find ourselves blessed in its doing. The next 2 weeks, we'll be looking at Matthew 9, 35 through 38, and then Matthew 10, 1 through 15. The close of chapter 9 reveals the compassion of Christ in a beautiful and wonderful way. This is the moment when Jesus looks at his disciples and he sees humanity and he says, the harvest is plentiful. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers. And then immediately Matthew records at the beginning of chapter 10, when Jesus sends out his disciples two by two as laborers into that harvest. You and I, think of it this way. When Jesus calls the disciples to pray to the Father for laborers, you and I, this is a huge thought, okay? So let's not walk away from this thought for a second. I want you to hear this. You and I are the answers to the disciples' prayers. Think about that. Jesus, Our Lord and Savior, our Master, God incarnate, came, told the disciples that the field is whitened to harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Now pray to my Father, pray to the Lord, that God would raise up and send out laborers for this harvest. They prayed, and you are sitting here this morning as an exact, actual answer to Peter's prayer, to James, to John, to Bartholomew, to Nathaniel. When they prayed for the Lord to send harvesters, laborers into the harvest, you're the answer. You say, well, yeah, all Christians. No! Don't generalize. Make it yours. I am an answer to Peter's prayer. I'm an answer to John's prayer. That's a glorious thought. Think about that. So in the next 2 weeks, we're going to have that unfolded. And then also the great example that the disciples became for us in being those laborers. So that's why I want us to hear the passage that we have this morning. I want us to hear it and to live it out. I want us to hear what it means to hear and do, and not just hear only. I've been chewing on that idea for a while now. This idea that I am an answer to the disciples' prayer. I've been chewing on that for a while. I need to be a doer and not a hearer only. Let's look at the text. The first thing we're going to see is we're going to see this edict that the Holy Spirit gives to James for us. Merriam-Webster defines an edict this way: as a proclamation having the force of law. So don't get me wrong, James has not got this scathing rebuke in mind, but he does have a law in mind. This is not just a good suggestion for Christians. This is an imperative. This is a command that is given by the Holy Spirit through James, through the centuries to you. Through the millennia to you and to me. He says in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." When it comes to commands, Christians, I think, don't really understand the weight of them. We love grace, right? Maybe we don't love grace that much. Do we love grace? I mean, do we really love it? Yeah, we like it a little bit. Enough to go, yeah. Do you like grace? Do you like not getting what you deserve? Do you like mercy? Do you like the fact that Jesus, do you love the fact that Jesus came to this earth to save you from your sin, to give you life everlasting, and so that you would be considered righteous before his Father? Do you like that? We really need to work on this here. Okay, so maybe you guys need to be a little hearers now. It's like, hear that. Hear the depth of that. The beauty of that. But with that comes command. With that comes a law. With that comes obedience. Christians, we have a hard time with that. Because we lean so heavily on this idea of grace and that God will forgive me. And that's absolutely true. But God has also commanded us to do. Jesus would say this in John 14. He would say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John, in his letter to the church, he said, and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Jesus says, you're not saved unless you are a one who loves me enough to keep my commandments. John says, how can you have assurance that you're actually a Christian if you keep his commandments? Christian, you have law to obey. You have stuff you gotta do. Well, you know, but that doesn't save me. You're right. But it does reveal that God actually saved you. Let me give you this one. Romans 2:13. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. The term doer in the Greek means to be a producer. As a matter of fact, the secular use of the term doer is one who produces poetry. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't go word study fallacy on me here and go like, okay, so if we're going to be a doer of God's word, we have to take God's word, turn it into poems, and then we're good. So that's not what he's saying. The idea behind what James is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying through him, is that you must be a producer from the word. When the word commands you and tells you how you ought to live, you ought to be living that way. You ought to be doing those things. You ought to be producing obedience to God. Being a hearer is just one who listens. Being a hearer is one who has the sound of the command brush past their ears, but it never quite goes further than that. And you know what that feels like. You ever read your Bible? Right, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Well, at least there's that. You ever been reading your Bible, and after a couple of minutes, you realize that you have been reading the words. You have read those words, but you have absolutely no idea what they said. Like, either you're tired, or you're distracted, or whatever. But if you've ever sat down and read your Bible consistently, you've had those moments where you're like, wait, what are we talking about again? And you have to jump back up and be like, okay, all right, start this paragraph over. I've had it sometimes where I've read a paragraph like three times and I'm like, okay, time to go to bed. I got nothing. Right? It's just like, I see the words. I recognize the words. But I ain't got nothing. I just don't get it. I can't grasp it. I can't focus on it. That's kind of the idea behind this person who is a hearer only. You hear it. It hits you. And instead of it going in, hitting your brain, and then making that 18-inch travel to your heart, it just stops and rattles around. It's like, okay, you heard it. You know it. But your heart has not done anything with it. You are not producing anything because of it. And this is the danger that James is bringing out. This is the command that he's bringing out. He's saying, don't be one who hears or listens only. Be one who produces obedience. Don't deceive yourself and think everything's good because you know what you're supposed to know. James 2:19. You believe in one God? Good. That's great. And I hear him say good as in like that sarcastic good. You know, it's like, oh, you believe in one God? Good for you, buddy. Good for you. Because even the demons in hell believe. You got it up here? That's great. So what? How has it affected your life? What has been produced because of that belief? Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, James says. Don't be like Luther. Martin Luther hated the book of James. He fought so vehemently against a works-based salvation that when he read the book of James, he thought to himself, ah, this is just some terrible Roman Catholic stuff here when he's talking about works. And he threw the baby out with the bathwater. He missed the point that James was saying. You cannot be a hearer only of the gospel. You must be a doer. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Be a laborer. Be a laborer. Produce obedience to the gospel. It's interesting. Romans 2, the passage that I just read you. For it is not the hearers of the law. Same word, hearer, as in our text. But the doers of the law. Same word. Same idea, same concept. What James was saying that Luther couldn't handle is the same thing Paul said in Romans 2. And it's the same thing Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do my will. It's the same message. Let me give you the simplest expression I can come up with to explain what James means here. If you're going to write something down, if you don't have to, I'm not saying you have to, now everybody get your pens out. But I'm saying if you're going to remember anything from this message, please remember what this means. Whatever truth you hear, you are accountable to live. Whatever truth you hear, and that's hearing by reading, hearing by watching, hearing by being in attendance here. However it is that you hear, you take in, whatever truth you take in, you are accountable to God to live. You can hear too little. It's an easy application point, to hear too little of the truth. Not sitting under the preaching of the word, or even sitting under it, but closing your ears. That is, you show up, but you distract yourself. There are people here right now who are trying to distract themselves from hearing these words of mine. Whether it be on their phones, or the Australian Aborigines call it going on walkabout. Like where they would get up and they would like go out into the middle of the jungle and then just, or the desert jungle, whatever you have there in Australia, and they just, you know, ponder life, you know, all by themselves. Well, we do that sitting in our seats sometimes, don't we? You're going on walkabout right now. I wonder if I could count the ceiling tiles. 472. Huh. Well, that one needs to be replaced. Now everybody's looking for the ceiling tile. Thanks, Josh. Now I have a way to go and walk about. Thank you. Now let's see if that 472 is the right number. There are people sitting here right now who are trying to distract themselves from the truth. But you need to understand, you're here. Your ears are hearing the truth, the command of God. The beauty of the gospel is coming off of my lips, and you will be held responsible by God to be a doer, to live out that truth. You can hear too little. You might think you're okay, concerning this command if you're hearing too little. What you do hear, if you're trying to minimize the amount of what you hear, whatever it is that you do hear, you are culpable to God for. What you do hear, what actually comes in, makes you guilty of breaking this law to be a doer, to live out the truth that you have heard. I don't know if that's necessarily the problem that our church has. Actually, I would say I don't think that that's necessarily the problem that most of contemporary Christianity, people who love Jesus, like I'm not talking about like the broad picture of Christianity where there's nominal Christians who aren't really Christians but who call the name of Christ, and I'm talking about real Christians in today's culture. Their problem isn't necessarily that they're trying to listen too little, but that they're listening to too much. That there's too much truth. Here's a danger. Say, wait a minute, what? Too much truth? If whatever truth you hear, you are accountable for, just as dangerous as trying to limit the amount of truth you hear is receiving more than you can handle is also dangerous. I'm going to give you two examples. I want you to understand that I'm not giving you these two examples as this example and this example are evil and you need to get rid of them in your life. That's not what I'm saying. Like, I'm prefacing this. I need you to understand, this is not me, like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. This is me giving you two examples of how our culture takes in too much and dulls our hearing and dulls our doing by it. First one, social media. All right, let's get that social media out of here. You know, that's like some people is going to hear that. They're like, yeah, that's the evils of social media. I'm not saying that. I'm going to use Instagram because I use Instagram. I am entertained by Instagram. You're like, oh, for shame, John. I'm sorry. I like it. It's fun. It is an entertaining platform. How dare? Well, do you watch YouTube? Okay, same thing. Do you watch cable? Do you watch the news relentlessly? Do you watch TV? Do you watch movies? Fill in the blank. Anything that is entertaining can be dangerous. It's also not, let's take everything about this and throw it away because I don't necessarily find it good. Who cares? That's not the point. Here, I'm going to use Instagram because I have found myself in this quandary. Ready? I'm going to ask a terrible question. If you feel comfortable raising your hand, if you have ever used Instagram or use it now, not you don't have, like if you're raising your hand, maybe you don't use it anymore. I'm calling you on the carpet. Anybody ever used Instagram before, ever in their entire lives, and scrolled reels? Like, there are some who are like, yes, absolutely, reels are fun. Okay, well, I'm raising my hand. I was looking at reels this morning. You know what I'm saying? Okay, like, okay, let's all take a big, deep breath. Everything's fine. We're all going to be okay. Okay, for those of you who haven't done that or don't know anything about it, let me explain it. 90-second videos of anything. Like you could go from an alligator attacking a zookeeper, you know, and him like juking and jiving the thing, or it can go to an incredibly deep, meaningful 90-second excerpt from a powerful sermon that Vodi Bakum preached. Like you can run the gambit of cartoon cats singing a stupid song that is an earworm and gets stuck in your head forever, or to the most beautiful display of mountain scenery with, you know, she's like, what in the world? And beautiful music. Like, all of these different things. I'll give you examples from my life. In my reels, I have a lot of Jeep videos. Never would have guessed that. There are algorithms that figure out what you like, and they feed it to you. Right? Which is also scary, but it's okay. Never mind. So, like, I can have a video of a Jeep, like, climbing this, and I know it's fake, because they're like, it's straight up the cliff, you know? But there's a tree on the top of the cliff, like, doing this, so it's like, just turn the, it's, you know. Anyways, right? So it's like, yeah, look at this killer winch, you know? It's like, that's why I wanted the winch. No. So you go from that to Paul Washer bringing a profound 90-second point. Like, somebody went through his whole sermon and found, like, the 90 seconds of his message that just cuts to the heart and brings incredible conviction. And then the next is Rainbow Kitties singing an earworm. If you've ever used it, you're like, yeah, that's exactly how it is. So you go from like, okay, I'm watching Jeeps do stupid things, to, man, what a profound truth. This truth should change my life. I love cats. I love every kind of cat. I just want to hug all of them, but I can't hug every cat. Can't hug every cat. That's dangerous. Because you know what that does? It dulls our doing. You go from hearing a truth. Because how many of those truths that you hear on Instagram, in those reels, do you then, after having the moment of, I should live this way, how many of those moments go from there to gone in 90 seconds? And now you have put yourself under the weight of that law. Be a doer of God's word, not a hearer only. But let's say that there's a social media clause in God's law. There's not. Let me mark my words here. There's not, but let's just say for argument's sake, there is. Right? Do you know what that's conditioning your heart to do? It's to hear something impactful that you should change. It's producing up the perfect law of God, the mirror of his word, you staring into it. Seeing yourself for who you are for those 90 seconds and then walking away, forgetting what you had heard. It conditions you to do that today. It conditions you right now to feel those feels, to experience that experience, and then to be able to easily distract yourself just after. That's the biggest danger. It numbs your senses and conditions you to be able to walk away from truth as a hearer only and not a doer. I have found myself, this sounds so sacrilegious, but if I'm scrolling Instagram and I hit one of those statements, I just go past it. Not all the time, but because it's dangerous. You say, why don't you just get rid of Instagram? All right, that's a discussion for another day. Okay, get rid of your TV. Where's the line? Right? How much entertainment do you consume? Is entertainment okay? That's not the discussion here this morning. I'm talking about the fact. Here is an easy example of how we are being conditioned by our society and by our culture to be hearers only of God's. This is just one example. Let me give you another. I'm using a lot of time here on these, but I think it's important. Not because we need to kick social media to the curb. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, guard your hearts. No matter how difficult the culture is to overcome, you're still called to overcome it. No matter how difficult the command is to obey, or however increasing that command is to obey, you are still called by God to obey it. This is not the example that I'm going for next, but think about this. I'm going to hit somebody right in the heart here. First century Palestine. First century Jerusalem. Women walking around completely robed. Right? An immodest woman didn't have her head covered. You could see her hair. Obedience to God's command of do not lust. I'm telling you, horizontally speaking, was easier than it is today. You can be driving down US 1 and somebody is not wearing anything in comparison. Right? It is a harder command to follow today because of the downgrade of our community, of our culture. It doesn't take away the command, does it? It may be harder for us to obey, but praise the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit. And so no matter how hard this command is to obey, you can still obey it. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
A second example would be like, and again, I'm not saying podcasts are bad or listening to sermons is bad. So I'm not like, hear me. If you listen to sermons every day, every week, all the time, I'm not saying that that's bad. Understand? But you could think, man, this is great. I can listen to R.C. Sproul. I can listen to somebody reading a Charles Haddon Spurgeon sermon with power and gusto. I can hear mega awesome, amazing teachers of God's word from all of history and all of today, right in my pocket. I could do that from morning to night. And you know the danger? Is that you be a consumer of God's word and you learn and you have all this knowledge. And then you get puffed up with all this knowledge, but you never live it out. With the amount of truth God gives you, you are responsible to live it out. In the first century, during the time, the infancy of the church, do you know how much good teaching an average Christian had? Maybe there was an elder established in your city. Maybe you had to walk three cities over to hear it. And then you had the whole walk back home and then all week to muse and ponder over just that one message. And God, what did God do to the church? Blew it up. We could be, I'm not saying we are, I'm saying we could be, again, conditioning our souls to take in all of this and never live it out. you come to church hungry for God's word? I'm talking to you, people. Do you come here hungry to hear what God has for you? Because here's another danger of the whole podcast thing, of the whole listening to sermons or watching sermons constantly, is that you hear me preach, you hear Demetrius preach on a passage of scripture that the Holy Spirit has worked on us for a week, 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks in a row, where the Holy Spirit has put all of you on our minds and our hearts and has produced an expression and an explanation of his text for you. And you say, well, I heard John Piper preach this sermon, and he did a better job. You're right. I'll bet he did a fabulous job compared to me. I'll bet he did a fabulous job compared to Demetrius. Who cares? Because that wasn't for you. That was for that congregation. You see? Man, there is a supernatural element to what we do here with God's word. Are you conditioning yourself? Are you deceiving yourself into thinking that you're doing all right? But all you are is just a hearer and not a doer of the word of God. If you had just one morsel of his word and you sought to obey that every single day of your life, you would be going home justified, whereas the person who had all of it and never did anything about it, they would end up in hell. You say, well, that's harsh. Isn't that what Romans 2 says? It's not the one who hears, it's the one who does who is justified. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not if you love me, you will consume my commandments. Think about consumerism. Think about Black Friday. How many of us are Black Friday Christians? We will trample over the commands of God so that we might get more of it in our heads. Well, I just know more. I just got more. I know more. I understand more. I got more. What are you living out? I say to you, a Christian who lives out the simple word of God is going to be blessed in his doing. Whereas the Christian, if they can even have assurance of their faith, who does not do what they hear will not be blessed. That's the example that we have. The explanation, I mean. Verses 22 and 23. Let me read it. He says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Isn't that what we do? How many times? Now, maybe all of you guys are amazing. All of you people are wonderful Christians who do the will of God, and that's great. How many times do you, I'll back it up, how many times do I, after hearing Demetrius preach, go home and discuss that passage with my wife or my family? How many times do I do that? I can't tell you the last time I did that. Confessing to you, he is a phenomenal preacher. When I said the thing about John Piper, you know, some of you are like, "Nah, he's better." He's better. And I agree. Demetrius is a gift from God to us. Do we walk away from his words and at once forget what was said? Let me remind you, I'm not trying to bring some scathing rebuke. It's a warning. This is a warning. This is God's warning. This is His command. And so there's a warning that's innately worked into it. But the beautiful thing is, James doesn't give us in this text. This is how I know he's not coming with this massive, strong rebuke. He's giving us God's command. He's explaining it to us. And then he brings not a rebuke, but encouragement. Look at verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. He doesn't go to the negative. He doesn't talk about the negative. He says, if you will take the word of God, the truth that God has given to you in his providence, in all the different ways that he is capable of giving you that truth, if you will put that into action, if you will be a producer of that truth, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed. You know, a lot of people, they define that word blessed as just the word happy. And it does mean happy. But it's not just happy. It's like, okay, cool, we'll be happy. No! The idea of being blessed is receiving divine... I have it in my notes here somewhere, but I'm off my notes. They're gone. Anyways, I'll tell you what I remember. Being blessed is more than just being happy. It's receiving from God divine approval. Thank you. Oh, man, I'm like looking for it. I wrote it down. See, I walked away from that statement and forgot immediately what it was. So it's terrible. Behold, I am nothing better than you guys. Receiving divine... Thank you, brother. I'm so grateful. I need to line? Everybody. Divine approval. Now that's going to make you happy, isn't it? When God looks down at you and approves of you, could you be happier than that moment? Oh my goodness! Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Maybe you don't know what it feels like to have the divine approval of God. There is joy and happiness unspeakable. That doesn't mean that this is being saved. No. In Christ, we all have become the blessed people of God, the approved of people of God. If you're in Christ, He approves of you. But now, you want an extra blessing? I'm stealing that from like the Pentecostals. Like, give me an extra blessing. No. Like, this is like daily bread. Walking in this is like, I have the blessing of God. I have been approved by God. When we obey the command of God, when we produce from the truth that God has given to us, God gives us His approval day in and day out, more and more and more. It's described to me, I remember as a teenager, this concept being described to me this way, is that God is going to fill your cup to overflowing. But what size cup you have is determined by what you do here. The Christian, you've been given a cup. That cup is going to be filled to overflowing with the glory and majesty and approval of Jesus Christ and the Father and the Spirit. Do you have a thimble or a 55-gallon drum? I want a 55-gallon drum that gets... I'm going to be so blown away by the amount of approval and love and blessing that God has for me, whether it's a red solo cup or if it's a silo. But wouldn't you rather have the silo? Wouldn't you rather have the largest container possible? And obedience to his word. Hearing, learning, and doing because of it increases your faith, increases your cup, increases the amount that is overflowing. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about blessing. James says, if you are more than just a hearer, but if you are a doer of that word, not one who walks away and forgets what they look like right away, but one who hears, sees, and takes action, you will be blessed in your doing. Behold the kindness of our Lord. He offers to you blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Doesn't that make you want to be a doer? By way of conclusion, I want to admonish us all. Don't be those who take in too little, who distract ourselves from the word. Don't condition yourself to be a hearer only by taking in too much and not recognizing the supernatural thing that God does by giving to you his word through the providence of his church. Don't fast from God's word, but don't go to the all-you-can-eat buffet either. Neither is healthy, right? If you hardly ever eat, or if you overeat, neither is healthy. And remember the promise associated with this command. See, God always gives you a promise. He always gives you a promise when he gives you a command. The promise here is that if you will do his will, when you hear what his will is, he will bless you in your doing. Let's pray together. Father, as we prepare now for a time of celebrating the Lord's Supper, I pray, God, that you would change my heart, change the heart of the people here in this room. And that we would become producers of your will, producers of your word. Remind us that we are accountable for all the truth you give us, to live it out. And that what is waiting for us is your blessing in the doing. And it's in Jesus.